Praise God, this is December the 19th, Sunday morning, and we're turning to Psalms 119, beginning with verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And everything I'm going to share this morning has to do, everything you're going to hear this morning out of me, out of this heart, out of my spirit, and from God, I believe this with all my heart, is going to change your life if you'll listen and you'll hear it with ears of faith. Because this message today has to do with your heart and faith as a force of your human heart. You know, we see faith as being something way off that God has to give us, or we need faith and we got to have this. But I'm telling you, you have a treasure chest ability within you that you've never tapped into. Most of us have never allowed faith to really develop on the level that we're supposed to have it developed in us, because we've got some things to accomplish before Jesus comes. And as believers, we've got to get ready and get these things prepared and get our hearts prepared, because we're going to stand before the King. And you know what he's going to look at? He's going to look at your head. He's not going to examine what's in your mind and what you're thinking and what you've learned in a school or what you went to college to get. He's going to look at your heart. He's going to look at your heart. That's the only thing he's going to see is when we stand before him, and that's all he sees right now for that matter. He sees our heart. And it's in our ability, it's in our ability and in our hands to do something with that heart, because it's our heart. Not your heart. It's not my heart. My heart's not your heart. You can't change my heart. You can't do anything with my heart. It's mine. God can't even change your heart unless you're willing to let him change it. No one can touch your heart but you. Now, if you ever owned a piece of ground, like I have, and that's your ground, you got a deed to that ground. That's your ground. And if you choose to plant a big old garden on it, you can. If you choose to let it grow up in weeds and let thistles and thorns take it over, you can do that too. If you, whatever you choose to do with your land, that's up to you. You want to dig it up, get all the rocks out of it, get it tilled real good and soft. I've done that. Many, many times I've hoed a row of corn, a row of beans. But before you ever lay that plow to a piece of ground, you have to get out the rocks, or you are just wasting your time. And that's the way it is with our hearts. It doesn't matter how many times you come to church. It doesn't matter how many times you pray. It doesn't matter how many times you read the word. It doesn't matter how many times you do anything. Until you get your heart right and you get out the rocks and you get out the worry and you get out the fear and you get out the jealousy and you get out the unbelief and you get out all the bad stuff that hinders your growth, you're just not going to have a very fruitful heart. Can't bear fruit. You can sow and sow and sow in that heart of yours, but until you get it ready, you can't really get much out of it. And that's where faith is so powerful. That's what faith, you know, I was telling somebody the other day, I said, you know what? You know how I've done this or this? I was talking about some things that's happened. I said, I have a hand. I feel, this is what I sensed. I have a hand that just, this hand of faith within my heart just reaches out and lays hold on it. And I ain't going to let it go. I get a lock on it. I get a faith lock out of my heart. A lot of people don't know how to live like this. But, you know, if I can believe it, I can see it, I can believe it, I got it. And it happens in a split second. It happens within, boom, I got it. And I know I got it. And I'm like, nobody sees it. Nobody can touch it. Nobody can smell it. Nobody can feel it. But I got it. Just as sure as I got it looking at it physically. I got it in a place that's more greater and more powerful than any place you could ever travel with me. You can go to Rome, you can go to Europe, you can go anywhere and see great sights, but I got a place within me that's greater than any of that. It's a secret place. It's a secret place, and only I know how to get there for me. I wish I could take people there. I tried. I've tried my whole life. You can ask these ladies. They know I've tried to take them to that secret place. And you can go yourself. But I want to share some scriptures with you that will just really, I think, encourage you today. And I want you to understand that God's word never changes. It's settled in the heavens forever. Just know that. That's not us. Well, are you sure about that? You show that to me somewhere else? No. It's in the word. God says his word is settled in heaven forever. settled, final. It's just the way it is. And who am I to question God? Who is anybody that can question God? I don't care if you're a king of the kings. You cannot question His word. His word is settled in heaven forever. Eternity. Settled. Over. Then the discussion. And I saw this as a young Christian 32 years ago, that I knew this is God I'm dealing with. I'm not messing around with this anymore. I've been messing around too long playing games with my life, my eternity, my forever. I got a forever. You got a forever. Better not be messing around with your forever, because what you do on this life determines your forever. What you do with your time here, what you do with your garden, your heart, determines your position in heaven, the job you're going to have in heaven, whether you're going to have to go back to kindergarten in heaven, or whether you're going to be promoted and go right into the work that God has prepared, that you've prepared yourself for. You know, some people haven't prepared anything for heaven. They'll stand before the Lord and they have not much to offer Him. They won't have much to take with them. They won't have very many people to take with them. You know, the only thing you can take to heaven with you, the only thing you're going to take to heaven with you, is other people. When you see that, then people start looking really different to you. When you realize that you're looking at an eternity right there. I'm looking at an eternity right here. Every life I look at, I see eternity. I don't look like other people. I don't see things like other people see them, because I see them through the light of the Word of God. When you begin to look at the Word of God and you see life in this reflection, in this light, you see everything different. You realize, God, this is pretty big, and I'm a part of it. You know, I might be just one little grain in the sand on a seashore compared to the whole world, but I matter to God. I matter to Him. He knows me by name, because that's the kind of God He is. He's a God that knows us by name. He's so big that He inhabits eternity. He inhabits all the universes, but yet He can be so small that He can know you personally. In fact, He knows every hair on your head. It's numbered. That's pretty incredible to think about that like that. But I'm telling you, if you just realize His word is settled. Okay? I don't know much about the word. I don't know too much. Well, you can. That's where I started. I don't know very much about God. Believe me. I don't think anybody was on my level. But God's grace, one touch of the King, changes everything. Amen. One touch in my life changed my life and my world and turned it upside down. Changed my family. I have affected people. My life has affected a lot of people's lives. Totally turned my life upside down when I met Him. Totally turned my life around when I met Him. He's been the greatest, most wonderful friend I have ever, ever met. And I can't tell people enough about Him. So you see me excited, is because I am. And I've been excited for 32 years. Have I had some down times? Oh, yeah. I've had some very down times. Have I been sad? Oh, yeah, I've been very sad. I've probably cried more tears than anybody in this room. I would venture to say, me and Darlene's probably a close second. Maybe you're a third. But I done prayed and I done cried my tears to where I have pressed in to some things. I have pressed into some things. I have set a mark for myself. I have set a mark. And you know what that mark is? It's the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There is a high calling on every single person's life. Every single man, woman, and child has a high calling of God on their life if they'll accept it. It's really up to us. Everything's up to us. We got choices in this life. Hardest thing to ever learn as a person growing up is that your choices make the difference in your life. Your choices can set you on this road over here. And sometimes it's hard to get off that road. You ever get on a highway and you're driving way off down the road and you think, man, I can turn around. There's no turnaround for 30 miles. Sometimes I've been in situations where I thought, well, I can't just jump ship here. There's no turnaround. There's no exit lane. There's no exit anything. You know, we think we get into things, we'll just get out of it. No, there's no exit. And our choices, our directions we take make a difference in our destiny. Our eternity is affected. But one touch of the King changes everything.
That's why I seek him with my whole heart. But let's go back to verse 89. And I'm speaking with authority here tonight, or this morning. I'm speaking with authority because you know why I can speak with authority? Because I've lived it from my heart. This has not been a try me thing. This has not been hope so thing. This has not been a maybe thing or hope so thing. Glory to God. It's been a no so because I've experienced him. He has been my life. My life is hid in Christ. How did it get hid there? There's a place you go in him. Let me show you some things here this morning. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I'm not so brazen and so stupid to think that, God, you got to prove that one now. I'm not going to shake my fist in the hand of God. He can go poof and you're just a poof in the wind. I'm telling you, you better fear God because he can poof you out. I'm serious. He can just poof you out. You just don't need, no molecules left in your body. I fear God. I think it's important to fear God. That's where you begin. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And by wisdom is a house built. You can't even start if you don't have any wisdom about yourself. Don't even try to lay a foundation if you ain't got no wisdom. Because your wisdom will help you build your house. Understanding will establish it, and your knowledge of the things of God will fill it up with good stuff. The good stuff will come. The good stuff is coming in your life when you get some things established. I wouldn't think of moving furniture in here until I got this floor done. It would be stupid because I'd be working around furniture. But God now has allowed us to establish this place, and now we can fill it up with some good stuff. Amen. See, that's just the way it works. God's a very practical God. Am I preaching good this morning?
Amen.
Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. I'm part of a generation. He's still just as faithful to me and this generation as he was faithful to David's generation or to Elijah's generation. Every generation, God has been faithful to that people. He's faithful to me. He'll be faithful to you. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. Never leave you, never forsake you. He watches over his word to perform it. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. Call upon me in the time of trouble. I will hear and I will help. Anyone that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Never. No wise. Don't worry about it. I'll never run away. I'll never be too busy to talk to you. I'll answer you when you call upon me in the time of trouble. I'll hear and I'll help. You know what a lot of us do? We call on God in a panic. We call on him out of our head. We call on him because we need a help right now. And that's all you got. It's what you got in here. But when you get serious with God and you start calling from him, calling unto him from your heart, that's the prayer he hears. That's the prayer he hears when he sees you're really serious. Because he doesn't see your head, he sees your heart. There's a warm spot right inside of you that's called your heart. And that's where God sees. He knows your heart. He doesn't know your head. He knows your heart. I can't emphasize that enough, how important your heart is. It's like that garden that I was talking about earlier. You are your own caretaker. If you've got faith, it's because you applied the word to your heart and you exercised your heart in faith. If you have the ability to love other people, it's because you decided, I'm going to love my enemies. If you have a forgiving heart, it's because you decided to have a forgiving heart. If you have a kind, merciful heart, it's because you decided to have a kind, merciful heart. If whatever you decide to do or be, you have to begin with you. It all has to begin with us. If you want to love people, I mean really love people, you have to decide to do that. It's a choice of your will. Your heart is your will. What is really you all about? I want to stand before the king, and I want to dance in that wedding dance, and I want to be a part of that wedding circle. And when you remember the nine virgins that were waiting? I don't want to be the ones that don't have any oil, that when the door is shut, they're outside, and I never knew you. They're beating, oh, but we're part of the wedding group. We're part of the wedding group. I don't know you. You didn't put oil in your lamps, so I don't know you. The door is shut. You know, there was a day in the days of Noah when the door was shut. And everybody realized that Noah ain't so crazy after all. And they all started beating on that door of that ark, and it was shut. There's coming a day the door will be shut. No matter how much you realize or how much you want or how much you cry and beg, it'll be shut. It's time to get ready while we've got the time to be ready. Night's coming when no man can work, Jesus said. Work while it is day, because night is coming when no man can work. I believe we're very close to the coming of the Lord. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should have perished in mine affliction. Unless thy, what? Thy law. Unless thy law had been my delights, I would have perished in mine afflictions. What's that talking about? Unless the law had been my delight. There's a scripture that comes to me that says, rivers of water run down mine eyes because they love not thy law. Rivers of water. I have had this happen to me. I've had family members or this one or that one who just ignores God, doesn't want to hear about God. It just breaks your heart. Rivers of water run down your eye. It breaks your heart. You cry. When you cry from your heart, the tears are different. Tears are different when you're crying out of a heart that's broken. And when you're in trouble, you realize that word, when you got a problem and you got an attack on your body or you got an attack in your life, or your family's being attacked or somebody's, you run to the word. Amen. It's settled in the heavens forever. Yes. And I'll tell you something, it's exciting to serve God. Amen. If his word had not been my delight, I would have perished. In my troubles, in my afflictions, I wouldn't be here right now. I wouldn't be here today. I've been through so many wild things. I was married to men that loved to drink and drive. And you know, I grew up in the day when there was no big deal about that. We used to run around and drink and drive all the time. And I've been on some icy roads with alcoholic drunk men, driving every which way. The kids swinging around in the back seat. You know, they didn't have back seat. They had to put seat belts on back in those days. The kids are just slung everywhere. It's a miracle I got home. Now you got to strap a kid in 5 different ways. A lot of trouble to go somewhere. We just throw them kids in the car and go. Now we've got to buckle them down 5 times. I mean, they got to have everything on. Pretty crazy. But I like it. But. And listen to this man. This is somebody wrote this. Somebody from their heart penned this in a paper. This isn't just, God inspired this, meant this word right here. He said, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. You just don't forget when God has done something for you. You just cannot forget it. Can't forget it. This week, I hear something in the spirit, and it's a distress call. I don't know if any of you are hearing it or not, but there is a distress cry in the body of Christ right now. The body of Christ is being, there's believers, I mean people who love God, people who've been born again, people who legitimately know the word, who know what I'm saying is the truth, but their hearts are distressed. They're becoming very troubled in their heart. They're becoming disturbed. They're becoming tormented. They get up every day and they're tormented. They go to bed every night and they're tormented. They don't know where to turn. They're aggravated. They're mad. They're troubled. They've got issues. There's believers all over the place who love God, but they're not walking in the victory that God has given them. I mean, they feel and go through the same thing the world does. They're depressed, they're upset, they're angry, they're frustrated. And that's not supposed to be like that for the believer. We've got victory in our lives. You know why? I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I've got victory. Because I know the one who gave it to me. I know the one who paid the price for that victory. I know the one who provided victory for me. And he didn't provide it just once or twice or 3 or 4 times. He gave it to me for eternity. Victory is mine in Jesus. One touch of the King changes everything. Changes everything. Don't let me give you the impression that we got to bawl and squall and cry and ask Jesus to come down and do something. That's not what I'm talking about. A lot of believers think they've got to get on, well, if they fast enough or they pray hard enough and they maybe cry hard enough and they beat their head against the wall hard enough and they beg and scream and cry, they can move God with pity. Oh, God, surely you feel sorry for me. And truly, that's what they try so hard to get God to come down and do something. God's already done it. You know when he did it? He did it 2,000 years ago. That's when he did it. What did he do? If you don't read the word, you won't know. If you do not spend time in this word, you will not know what belongs to you. If you don't read the will, you're never going to know. If your papa or mama left you something, you better read the will. That's the first thing people want to do when their parents or somebody dies in their family. What'd they leave me? What did they leave me? My mama died. First thing my sisters and I, we wanted to know what she do with her will. What did she leave us? And she was a wealthy woman. I want to know what she leave me. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's a normal thing you do. But believers get up every day troubled, tormented, broke, depressed, and they don't know the will. They don't know what belongs to them. Well, just read the will. Spend some time in the Word, which is His will. You know, Jesus said this. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You want to know how much you love the Lord? Check on your heart and see if you're walking in His Word. Because His Word, He and His Word are one. Amen. He's established that Word in the heavens forever. That's how you can see where you are in your relationship with the Lord. How's your ground doing? Been working on that ground? You got all the rocks out yet? Are you ready to plant yet? I don't plant anything in a piece of ground unless I make sure the ground is nice and ready to till. Because for one thing, I had a little old dinky rototiller. You hit a clod or two and you're just going to spin and spin and spin. And on top of that, my arms are not very big. I always heard Gloria Copeland say, I'm not very big or tall or strong, but I can stand. You see, it's not about how big or tall or strong you are. It's what can you believe. And your believing is based on what you know according to the Word of God. You are the caretaker of your own heart. You don't want to wait till you're in a crisis, though, to start working on the heart and start your believer believing. Faith is a product of the Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you don't spend time in the Word, don't be surprised if you come up short when it comes time to have faith for something. Then you're going to be running to somebody that you know has spent some time in the Word. Then you'll be crying to somebody that knows the Word, that can pray and agree with you. That's okay, I do that too. But it's so much better to walk in it every day and walk in victory every day. Every day. Every day, victory every day. God is so good. People are hurting. People are hungry. People are just, I'm telling you what, they're in a dry and thirsty land. It's just like that song. There's great darkness. There's vast darkness covering the earth right now. We are in a very dark, dark world. And it's getting darker and darker and darker. And we are the lights of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. You cannot hide a light that's in a dark place. The good news is, the more light is in you, the greater the light is going to shine to them. The greater you know God, the more you know His Word, the greater they're going to be able to notice it. You get somebody's attention walking around town. And sometimes you don't have to say anything. I've walked into stores and seen people kind of, because they know the glory. They may not even understand that. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. See, I see my heart in a way a lot of people don't see their heart. I saw, God taught me, because I was raised on a farm my whole life. My dad had about a 1,600 pound workhorse, and he worked that horse every day just about in the summer, getting that ground laid off and plowed. He plowed with her. He did everything with this horse. If he wanted to build, one time he wanted to build like a rock wall around the creek, because I mean, there's creeks everywhere on the hills. Like you said, you was raised by a creek. Your creeks come off the mountains. You're going to have creeks if you're living in the flatlands. And Daddy took that big old workhorse, and he drug the biggest boulders you ever saw in the world. I've never seen such boulders. I mean, long as this table and this high, and drug them to that spot and had them placed in spots. There's a lot of things you can do with your land. A lot of things. Don't let it grow up in weeds. Don't let your heart grow up in thistles. Don't let your life not matter. Do you know the only thing that's going to matter is what you know about God? His word is established forever and settled forever in heaven. The next verse we're in Psalms 119. And we're looking at verse 93 or 94. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. My meditation all the day. I have to stop right here and say something about this. I had a sweet daddy, but he loved to talk. I got my talk from my dad. And he would get out on the tractor or on a lawnmower, and he'd just talk to himself all day long. Be out there talking. And I'm a little kid running around, and daddy's out there just talking to somebody. He's having a conversation with somebody. And I don't think he thought anybody could hear him because the tractor was going on. And I catch myself doing the same thing, having a conversation in my mind. And all of a sudden, the Lord said, you know what? You're wasting a lot of good time right there, a lot of good thought time, because meditation on the wrong thing can be destructive. And he said, you need to start learning how to meditate on my word. Meditation is a powerful, powerful thing if you learn how to do it. And believe me, there's a devil standing right here saying, don't. Think about this. Think about that. He's always bombarding our minds with thoughts. I'm telling you, you can learn to discern your thought life. You can learn to discern, am I thinking the word? Am I meditating on the word? Or am I thinking about something, like I love what Jonah says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. It's so important not to pay attention to the wrong things. Don't pay attention to lying vanities. Vanities means things that are worthless. Things that are just worthless. I've learned to make every day count. Everything, check to see if it has value. If it has value, then you need to think on that. What if things are pure? What things are lovely? If there be any praise, any virtue, if it be a good report, think on these things. Make those things something you can think about. If it doesn't have, take the checklist, good report, praise, virtue. Yes, it's worthy of my thought life. Is it worthy of my thought life? If it's not, I don't give it place. Kenneth Hagin used to say, you can't keep a bird from flying through your hair, but you don't have to let it make a nest there. Always remember that, because you know what? You are your own caretaker. You're the caretaker of your mind, you're the caretaker of your heart, and your mind is the doorway into your heart. Right, amen. I'm trying to help you see that you got the responsibility to get out the weeds, to get out the stones, so the word can get deep within you. It's so urgent that we establish ourselves in his word, because his word's already established, and if you're established in his word, then you're established too, just like the word. If you come into agreement with the word, and you learn how to cast down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God or his word, I'm telling you, we're stewards of our own being. We got to be a good steward. We're going to give an account one day for our stewardship. He's given us responsibility, and I don't want to come up empty. I want to have, you know, he's given us all talents and abilities and gifts. Take advantage of your time here. It's ticking. This morning I got a clock in my bathroom, and I can hear that thing ticking. It's so loud. You ever have a clock in your house that just tick, 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 tick? And the Holy Spirit, you hear that ticking? You hear that ticking? Every second of your life is passing by you. The second you'll never get back. It's a second you'll never get back. It's a second that's gone forever. I'll be 55 years old this next week. Do you know what? It's starting to hit me that I'm getting up there. I didn't say old. But the years are passing by. Quickly. See, I still think I'm 25. You hang around me, I act like I'm 25. Sometimes 15. Get with my grandbabies, I'm really a kid. We're doing the gummy bear dance all over the living room. But I hear that clock, and it starts. It's an awareness. It's like we need to work with a sense of urgency. The believers are waking up, I believe, to the fact they're missing something. Everywhere they're waking up realizing, should I be this depressed? Should I be this down? Should I be this upset? Should I get this angry? Something's wrong when you get so angry you want to choke somebody. You begin to say, you know, something's wrong here. When you constantly want to kick the kid or kick the cat or choke the dog or kick the dog or whatever, something's wrong. When you've got this inferno going on inside you, it means your heart's got a problem. Take your temperature. Take your temperature once in a while of your spirituality. Where are you spiritually? His word is absolutely the key to our lives. And this guy, he says here, I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. You know, the Lord's taught me many, many, many things in these past 32 years. Many things he's taught me. But I've been teachable. Let me say this again. I've been teachable. Some people have served God a long, long time, but they're not teachable. Oh, I'll let you work on that part, but you can't have this part. I'll change this, but I can't give you that. You've got to open up your heart if you really want to walk in victory. And that's the key. Be victorious. Being a victorious believer belongs to us. I've read the will. I'm made more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. How am I made more than a conqueror? How? For one thing, the one who conquers is the one who takes out the sword and does all the fighting. The conqueror is the one that does all the work. And he's the one that takes the flag and stands on the hill and says, we've defeated them. We've conquered. Now, what's to be more than that? What's to be more than a conqueror? It's to be an heir of all of that. You read the will. You realize what's in the will. I'm an heir to all that. Yes, you're an heir to all of that. You're hearing something this morning that maybe you've never heard. But I'm telling you, there's a place of victory. It's really this simple. You want to walk in victory, or you want to walk in the mully grubs and defeat? Are you tired of crying and being down and out and being a downer outer? Then get in the ones that are going up. Walk in the glory. There's a glory cloud waiting on you to walk in. There's victory for us in the world. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Yes, we got a devil to deal with. He's out to kill. He's out to steal. He's out to destroy. But the greater one is more than the conqueror. He's already conquered it all. I've got to get into him. It's all about, where do you see yourself? I told a fellow the other day, I led him to the Lord about 4 or 5 years ago in spiritual mama. You'll be somebody's spiritual mama too if you can help them. God will send you people who will, you can help if you know how to do it. You got to have something to give people. See, this is where it's so important. Let me see if I can make it real clear. Everybody here raised a garden at some point in time? If everybody here has raised a garden, I think you're Kentuckian, you probably raised the garden to watch one grow. Let me tell you the steps that you have to go through. First of all, you got to have some land. Well, that you got because you got a heart. Then you've got to figure out, well, how hard is this ground? Well, it's pretty tough. I had about an acre that I had to try to do something with. Cows had been on it. Horses had been on it for years. It had that old nasty grass, fescue, and what's some of that other old tough grass? I mean tough grass. And you can't hardly dig it up. So I had a guy come. First thing he did, he took a big old plow on a tractor and he dug up that dirt. And what happened, I'm sitting there watching all this. It's amazing what's under that grass. It's amazing what that blade will turn over. There's something coming out of there. I mean, there's some big old rocks under there. There's some weeds under there. Roots are under there. There's all kinds of things inside there. And that's when the fun gets started. Then you get to get your wheelbarrow and your grubbing hoe and your shovel and your back, and you start pulling up all that stuff and you start loading it up in the wheelbarrow. I bet you I hauled 6 or 7 loads of wheelbarrow of rocks and junk out of that field and clods of grass before I could even think about get in there and getting a rototiller on it. After I did all that work, I think he came back in again and kind of disked it off for me after I got all that out. He came and disked it off. It's been a long while back, but I'll never forget the work I put into it. Do you think that you're going to go on and walk in victory and walk in joy and walk in praise? You can put on a good show, but do you think you're ever going to get to a place in your personal relationship with God that you can walk in the things of God if you don't do your work first and prepare your heart for His Word and learn how to sow the Word that you need for your life and then watch the harvest grow? And you're not going to get an immediate harvest sometimes. There's times when you've got to sow that seed. One time I planted 4 rows of corn, 100-foot rows, by myself, because I love to farm. I love to see things grow. I love to produce things. That's in my nature. I think everybody has a desire to make their life count. I don't think God ever wanted any of us, and if He put in all of us a place, we want to make something happen. I don't want to just exist. I want to affect other people's lives for good. Now, a lot of people live to affect other people's lives for bad. And believe me, you're either doing one or the other. You're either affecting people's lives around you, your family, your children, for good, or you're doing it for bad. And it depends on your heart. So here I am, 4 100-foot rows of corn, 4 100-foot rows of potatoes, 4 100, everything was in fours for some reason. I think I had 6 100-foot rows of potatoes. I had 2 100-foot rows of cabbage. I had about 4 100-foot rows of tomato plants. I had green beans. I did everything. Bell peppers and every bit of that ground. Let me tell you something. Your heart is so much like this. Your heart is so much like this, and you are your own caretaker. If you just waste your day and you don't get in on your knees and you don't pray. See, my prayer time is my hoeing time. Y'all getting this? My prayer time is my grubbing time. My prayer time is when I look at my heart, I look at Him, and I start digging up some things that maybe don't need to be there. God, search my heart. Examine me. See if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way that is forever, for righteous forever. Lead me in your word. You promised me that you would lead me and guide me with your eye. He said that I'll lead you, I'll guide thee with mine eye. You can know that He is your personal God. Isn't God good? So here I am, I'm just working away. Do you reckon I'm just having fun with all them rocks? See, I got a plan. I know what's coming. I know I'm going to be getting the canner out. I know I'm going to be getting them lids washed. I can see the end result of all my labors. I can see the end result of all my troubles. And there was times I just wanted to give up. This is too hard. Them weeds come fast. Let me tell you something about weeds. They grow easier than tomatoes. They grow easier than beans. Weeds don't need to be tended to. I had to tend to that garden every day. Here I did. I got the ground ready. All that work and labor and sweat. Then guess what I did? I started laying off the rows. And you know what I love about laying off rows? The thing I love about laying off rows is it's so much like your heart. The preparation of the heart in man is from the Lord. He will help you prepare your heart before Him. And you know what? I don't care if anybody likes me. I don't care if anybody loves me even anymore. I don't care. My daughter said some really cruel things to me the other day. My oldest daughter got a daughter. You know how kids are? They can just tell you like they feel. 37. She's 37 and now she's older than me. And she knows more than me. Of course, she tells me all about myself. And you know what I did? I just let it go in one ear and out the other. Because I don't care. Doesn't bother me at all. Did I go home and boo and bawl and squall about that? No. I didn't. In fact, 5 years ago, I would have. But not right now. Because you know why? Harvest time is coming. Harvest time is coming. Harvest time is coming. I got some bigger beans to pick. I got some canning to do. I'm busy about the master's business. I got things to tend to. I know a harvest is coming. I've got work to do. I don't have time to go over there in the molly grubs and be sad and out. I've got work to do over here for the master. He's put me in a field and He's given me a job and He's given me the work and He's told me what to do. Now it's time to start gathering it up because I'm seeing the harvest come.
I've been watching it grow. I've been watching the things in my heart grow. Now I can walk in it. Now I can eat the fruit of my labor. Do you know the gift of God, the greatest gift that God ever gave man, was to for you to work. Now we're all supposed to work. If a man don't work, he shouldn't eat. The greatest gift God ever gave you and I is the ability to work and then eat the fruit of it.
Amen.
And enjoy it. I mean, just enjoy it. Whew. Man, I'm glad all that work's over. Man, I'm glad I can rest now, but I know what it took to get here. And enjoy life with the Master. That secret place can be found. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge, He's my fortress, He's my God, in Him do I trust. See, there's a place I've learned to go. I forged the path. It's my heart. I had to take care of it. I had to grow these things. I had to develop me. I had to get the rocks out of me. You just examine yourself with this word. You know, the greatest scripture, and I could quote word all day to you, but I wanted to hit you in your heart. There's a scripture in Corinthians that says, casting down imaginations, bringing every thought in captivity. And it doesn't say, oh God, please help me. No, you do it. You cast down those imaginations. But I can't stop thinking that way. I can't stop this. I just can't. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Don't ever let the devil tell you you can't. You can do anything that you want to do. You really can, because you're the caretaker of your own heart. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. The bottom line in my heart is this. Who is my God? Who's my God? Whoever your God is who you will serve. Whoever your God is. Who's your God? Are you your own God? Is your stuff your God? The Ten Commandments are still the Ten Commandments. He said, it's easier for heaven and earth to pass away than one jot or one tittle of the law to pass away. It's established forever in the heaven. He took stones and wrote the Ten Commandments with his finger. And then guess what he promised in the new promise, the new covenant? I'll write my word in your heart. It can be a part of you. And you don't have to think about it anymore. You just be led by your spirit. The Holy Spirit in your human spirit. You know what? I've learned to hear my spirit talk to me. Your heart will talk to you. Then all of a sudden, scriptures start making sense. Deep answers to deep. Oh, there's so many good things God wants to open up to us. But who will the Lord teach wisdom? Who will He teach knowledge? Who will He teach understanding? Those that are weaned from the breast, drawn from the milk, line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. Are you willing to grow? Are you willing to get weaned? Yeah, you're going to suffer a little bit. Yeah, you're going to wall and squall and bash your head against the wall a few times. Want to beat yourself up a few times. You're going to fall. You're going to make messes. You're going to fail. But I tell you what, I've got a mark that I've set. I have a mark, and it's the high calling of God. Paul said, this one thing I do, this one thing Teresa does, no matter whatever goes on, this one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind, and I press toward a mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Coming in here working, I had a mark. And I still see it. Have I got there yet? No. But I got the mark. As long as I keep His word in front of me, I'll never have the problem. But I heard God speaking to me this week. His people are crying. His people are frustrated. His people, so many of His people, do not know how to serve Him. They don't know how to look to Him. They don't know how to trust Him. They do not know how. And you know, guess what? I believe this. We're going to be the ones who show them the way. Because Jesus said, I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. He said that the body of Christ was given teachers and preachers and evangelists for the edifying of the body. We need each other. The body needs teachers and ministers fulfilling their place, walking in their calling. And if you're not walking in your calling the way you know you're supposed to be walking in your calling, get the grubbing hoe out, get the weed eater out, get out whatever you got to get out, and get busy and work and get your heart right and get ready and prepare it for the work that God has for us to do. Thank you, Father. God, I seal this word. I seal it, God, in the name of Jesus.
blessings on that this food, God, blessings on your word. And I ask, God, that you just bless our day. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.